Well, let's turn over to the book of Galatians. I'm really excited about this. I will promise you that today we are not going to get very far.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, we may only go through one verse tonight. So, if you're thinking, praise God, I'm getting out of here early, think again. Y'all know me too well. We've been doing this study, the book of Galatians. This has been amazing. Maybe just one of my most favorite things that I've done is taking this thing little bit by little bit, line by line, verse by verse, precept upon precept, chapter by chapter. We're in chapter 3 right now. What did you say?
That's the way you study.
Jennifer, you're exactly right. Actually, the way that I'm teaching through this is the way that I study. Like in my personal study time, this is the way it works for me. I get to studying, I get to going off on these different areas and things like that. So basically, y'all are just kind of getting to study along with me, and we're getting to study along together. And so I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. So anyway, just to briefly summarize, Paul had established these churches in this region of Galatia. And so after he left, what happened is Jewish Christians came in and began to tell these Gentile churches, look, you know, it's great that you believe in Jesus. Now you've got to keep the law. Now you need to be circumcised. And that got rid of a lot of men in the churches right then and there. And then you've got to, you've got to keep all the law. You got to keep all the feasts. You got to, you know, everything that we as Jews have had to do, now you Gentiles have to do as well. And Paul's later on in Galatians, Paul's going to give the reasons why they're coming in and doing this. You know, we think that it might be all innocent, and we think that it might be all, well, they just misunderstood. No, it wasn't. But we'll find that out when we get to the last chapter next year. And so, you know, we're just kind of going at that pace, right? Not when we get to the last chapter. But so here he is. He's in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "O foolish Galatians," very strong terminology here, "who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only do I want to know." In other words, no other argument. There's no other argument. Answer this one question. Answer this question. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you become born again? Did you receive the new creation by the works of the law? In other words, did you earn it? Did you do it? Were you able to get blessed? Did God say, because you did this, now I'm going to give you this? Or did you do it because you just heard the gospel and it was such good news you chose to believe that gospel and just, I mean, it was just by faith? Answer the question. The question obviously is answered this way. It was by faith. And so he says, "Are you so foolish," verse 3, "having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect now by keeping a set of rules, regulations, ordinances, commandments? Are you made perfect by doing that?" See, what they didn't realize, they'd already been made perfect. The Bible says that we are complete in Him. And so he talks about even God that works miracles among you and ministers to you the Spirit. Does he do it based on your works of the law, or does he do it based on what you believe concerning him? See, and so we talked about this, and then last week we really dug into verse 6, where he said, "Even as Abraham believed God," so he's bringing it all the way back to Abraham, which is before the law, you know, many years, 400 years or more before the law. He's saying, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham was declared righteous not because of what he did, not because of how he lived, not because of all the rules he obeyed. There was no law during Abraham's time. There were no Ten Commandments, believe it or not. Abraham wasn't just a great guy because he always did what God told him to do. As a matter of fact, if you read his life, Abraham made plenty of mistakes. But it says that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know therefore, now let me just set this up as we get into this. What Paul, the argument that Paul is about to make is that our heritage finds its source all the way back in the promise that God made to Abraham.
Amen.
In other words, he's going back, he's trumping the law. He's going back and he's saying there's something, you know, whereas the Jewish people were so about the law of Moses, so about the commandments, so about the priesthood. So that was their constitution. That was what defined them as a nation. That was what defined them as a people. But Paul is saying we need to go back to another covenant. We need to look at a promise that God made even before then. And so, and it was faith. Faith preceded the law. Righteousness by faith preceded the law. See, he's setting it up. And so he's about to make this argument. So he says in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, these are the children of Abraham." These are the ones that get to live according to that promise. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." And we talked about that last week. We defined what the word blessed mean. So then they which are of faith, they're blessed in the same measure and in the same way and along with faithful Abraham. Listen to last week if you want to know what blessed actually means. Verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law," they live their life trying to keep the commandments. They live their life trying to do good so that God will bless them. They live their life saying, "I've got to live according to what the old covenant and what the rules and the regulations are, and that's the only way that I'll be blessed. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse." I'm just going to stop there for a second. This is strong language, and this is one of the reasons why Paul is so adamant about what he is writing to these churches. Because what they're about to do is in listening to these Jewish Christians, is they're about to nullify and negate everything that Jesus did for them. Christ would have died in vain for a group of Christians that are not able to receive the benefits that come out of grace, that are not able to receive what he has provided freely for them because they chose or they were choosing to live under a different system. And that actually is what's happening in churches today, in Christians' lives today. That because now that we're saved and we've allowed salvation to be just defined as going to heaven when you're saved. So the salvation message is receive Jesus so you don't go to hell. Receive Jesus so that you'll go to heaven. If you die today, where would you end up being? In hell or in heaven? And all of that's fine, I guess, if you want to talk eternity after the fact. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came that you would have life and have it more abundantly right now. Jesus came so that you would be in union with God right now. Jesus came so that you would experience everlasting life right now. Jesus came so that you might be redeemed, which we're going to look at, from the curse of the law right now.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
We can say it in good old Alabama English, right now.
Right now.
Right. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
That's why he came. But see, what's happened is in our churches is what we've done is salvation is about a future, yeah, you know, that we have after we die. And so then, what do we do? Now we've got to, okay, so you're saved. Okay, you're in church. All right, so you belong to God. Now let me give you the list of rules that you've got to keep. Yeah. You know, now make sure you're at church on Sunday morning. Make sure that you're at church. Make sure you're at church. No, I'm just kidding. Make sure you're at church on Sunday morning. You know, God will really bless you if you come on Wednesday night. Amen. Make sure you're tithing. Make sure that you're walking in love. Make sure that you're doing this. Make sure that you're doing that. Make sure you're keeping the Ten Commandments. Make sure that you're not lying. Make sure that you're not stealing. Make sure, you know, and so we talk, we create all of these hoops to jump through. What's your hoop? What's your hoop that you're jumping through to, you know, because you're not satisfied with your life and you're wondering where the blessing of God is, and you want to make sure you don't want to disappoint God, and you want to make sure that He's pleased with you, and you want to make sure that He blesses you. So what's your hoops that you jump through to get to that place of blessing and healing and prosperity or whatever it is that you're wanting from God? We set up these things, and then once we do that, I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about other churches. Once we do that, now we have a scale to measure ourselves by. Now we can begin to look at others that come in and say, you know, John's just, I mean, I know that I'm spending more time in the Word than John, and I know I'm doing this, so that means I deserve the blessing of God in my life more than John does. Or did you hear what Jennifer was doing this week? She said, don't tell on me, so apparently there's something, I don't know. No, did you hear it? And so now what happens is your churches become full of gossip.
Yeah.
Become full of judgment, become full of criticism, because now we've got this standard that we've created, these rules and regulations and these hoops to jump through by which we can measure ourselves against others and then measure them against us. And that's what the law is all about. It's about being in a place and trying to do everything to raise up to a standard that God created so that you would be declared righteous and that you would be pleasing in His eyes, and hopefully you'll get blessed. See? Well, here's the thing. And this is what this strong language is about. For as many as have decided to jump through all the hoops, for as many as has created this, you know, the stack of things to do. For as many as have decided to live according to the law, they are under the curse. Now, I'm just, I want you again to see this. He's not saying that they will be cursed. He's not saying they may be under a curse, or the curse may, they may find themselves, you know, dealing with the curse. He is emphatic by saying that they are under the curse. That's black and white. There's no two ways about it. Why? For it is written, cursed is everyone. And I just want you to notice, as he's making his arguments, he is using the Word of God as the evidence for the argument that he's made. He's not saying, because Jesus revealed this to, I got a prophecy from God that says, I got a word from the Lord that said, he said, because this is what the Word of God says. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you decide you're going to live by these rules, you can't pick and choose which ones those are. You don't get to do that. You don't get to say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments, which if you really want to get down to it, you're not doing, because we're not keeping the seventh day. We're not doing that. And we won't even go into the part about where covetousness is idolatry, and God said, you'll have no other gods before me. So we won't even talk, you know, so we can nitpick just the 10. But let's just say that we decided we want to pick out the 10 that so many churches do and say, this is the way I'm supposed to live my life. You don't get to do that. Because if you take some of the law, you're now responsible for all of the law. And what does all of the law include? Feasts that you have to keep. Giving that you have to do. Meat that you can't eat. The time when, if you decide that you're going to keep just the Ten Commandments, when you go to Jim and Nick's barbecue, you just broke the law. Well, that's not the Ten Commandments. I don't care. It's part of the law. When you're eating that pork, not part of the law. If you like me and like some good Cajun food, crawfish, shrimp, things like that, you are under a curse if you're trying to keep the law. Well, that's not good news, Pastor. No, it's not. So don't do it. Because this is the whole point. This is why this is so important to Paul. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You cannot keep the law. You cannot. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's what Habakkuk says, is that Hosea says that the just shall live. Is it Habakkuk? Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. That's what God said. Not that the righteous will live by the law. And the law, and we talked about this last week, is not of faith, but the man that does them has to live in it. You got to live according to it. Okay, so now your blessing is going to be conditional based on how you live your life and what you do. But here's where we want to really kind of focus tonight. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, again, this is the reason why the scripture says it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let's just dig into the curse of the law for a moment. Because if we're redeemed from it, if we've been purchased from it, if we've been removed from it, as long as we live our life by faith in Jesus Christ and not through what we do, but through what He did.
Amen.
You've got to see that everything that we're about to see here was all put on the tree on Jesus when He became a curse. He became our curse. The curses that we were supposed to live under. The curse of sickness, the curse of poverty. We're going to read through them here. All of that was laid on Jesus. And so what I do is I realize that He died as me. Not just for me, He died as me. And turned right around and gave me His righteousness. And I live as Him, or He lives through me. Praise God. So, with that in mind, let's look at the curse of the law. What is it? What are we redeemed from? Deuteronomy chapter 28. And so, we're going to start at the very beginning, because I want you to see that the law, that what God was doing, first of all, was showing humanity you can't keep the perfect standard. The law was perfect and holy, but the people weren't. That's the problem. And they didn't have the capability to do all of this. But also, He was also trying to create a covenant with them that separated life and death. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Therefore, choose life. He was giving them a path that would allow them to be under His protection, so that the curse that was out there would not enter in.
That's
see,
right.
the curse came would come as a result of disobedience. So God said this, it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day. Notice that they had to obey to get God to do. They had to move first to get God to move on their behalf. This is old covenant thinking. Get this in your mind. When the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, one of the things you need to rightly divide is the covenants. You need to know which one is for which, and which one applies to you and which one doesn't. And the dividing line of the covenant is the cross, not Malachi and Matthew. In your Bible, you got Old Testament that goes all the way through Malachi. You got the New Testament that goes from Matthew to Revelation. That's not the dividing line of the covenants. The new covenant didn't start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The new covenant started when Jesus hung on the cross, because a covenant is enforced by the shedding of blood.
Amen.
See? All right? Now, here we're talking old covenant, which is they had to perform to get God to do something. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall overtake you, and you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord, if you will hearken. Again, if. Blessed you'll be in the city. Blessed you'll be in the field. Now, as I read through this, what you need to be getting is that now this is the default position of the believer.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read through this. Because remember, it says that he was cursed that the blessing of Abraham
Amen.
Might come on the Gentiles through faith.
Amen.
Now, this is just an illustration or an expansion, if you will, from a definition standpoint of what blessing, what God blessing you looks like.
Yeah.
And now, again, I'm just going to say it again. This is your default position. This is not you trying to do something to get God to bless you. You are blessed because you are now his child.
Amen.
All right. So this is not something that God is going to do for you. You need to see this as operating in your life right now. Whew. I really want to camp there, but just see it. So. Instead of me saying, blessed shalt you be, I'm going to say, blessed you are.
Amen.
Because that's what's true about you now. Because the shall you be was old covenant based on your performance. The blessed I am is based on Jesus' performance.
Amen.
Mm. Blessed are you in the city. And blessed are you in the field. Blessed is the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. In other words, everything that you own is blessed.
Amen.
Blessed is your basket and your storehouse.
Amen.
And your savings account.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed are you when you come in. And blessed you are when you go out. That covers most of the time. And he didn't qualify that by saying where you come into and where you go out to. It just means everywhere you go, you're blessed.
Amen.
As you walk into the store, favor has preceded you. As you walk out of the store, favor precedes you. I'm talking about when you get out into the parking lot, when you go. I mean, you need to have this mindset that favor is operating in your life all the time.
Mm.
Blessed, let's see, the Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. See, Hebrews chapter 13 says, I will boldly say, the Lord is my help. What shall I fear that man will do unto me? The Lord, look at this. The Lord has commanded, I'm saying it that way for us. The Lord has commanded the blessing upon you in your storehouses.
Amen.
Not in your storehouse. in your storehouses.
Amen.
Everything that you have, everything, I mean, it's just going to be so much, it's overflowing.
Amen.
It's running over. Running, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what God has. I mean, you being a child of God, that just, you're automatically qualified for it. The Lord has established you as a holy people. What does the scripture say? And Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a peculiar or a chosen people. Man, that should bear forth or show forth His praises in your life. Everything about you ought to be giving glory to God. Ought to be an expression of the goodness of God in your life. I am. I'm trying to stand still. As He has sworn unto you. And then, of course, here was the qualifier. If you shall keep His commandments. That was the old way. The new way is if you are a son of God.
Amen.
If you're a child of God. You're just part of, you just qualify because of that. All right. Now, let's keep on going. And all the people, everybody that sees you, all the people of the earth, they will see that you're called by the name of the Lord. They'll see that there's something different about you. They'll see that you're blessed. They will see it is attractive. It says they shall be afraid of you. In other words, they're not going to want to mess with you. They're not going to want to mess with you. I don't have time to get into that, but there's so many examples of this. And the Lord has made you. I said has made you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. You may say, well, I don't think I have a whole lot. Mm-mm, you missed the point. The point is you need to believe what God has said about you.
Amen.
And watch Him. Watch Him. I mean, when it says that we out of His fullness, out of Jesus' fullness, have we all received grace for grace, favor for favor, blessing heaped upon blessing. That's in John chapter 1, around verse 16 or so. That is, we're receiving out of His grace blessing, 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 favor, favor. Man. I'd rather just stay here and not even talk about the curses, but you got to see what you're redeemed from. All right. And He says, the Lord has opened unto you His good treasure. That's awesome. I don't care. Any way you go about it, anytime you're measuring your whatever's happening in your life according to His storehouse and according to His treasure, He said, that's like a king saying, I'm going to open unto you my treasure room. God says He has opened unto us His good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto your land in its season, to bless all the work. Oh, there's nothing. Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing that you'll put your hand to, but it's just blessed. I mean, it's the, you know, there was the old story, the Midas touch. Well, let's go beyond the Midas touch. Let's go to the God touch. Let's go to the Yahweh touch. Let's go to the Father God touch. I'm talking about everything that you
yes.
touch
Amen.
Is blessed. Amen. It multiplies. It favor just surrounds you because you're a child of the Most High
yes.
God.
Mm.
And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow.
Amen.
You're a lender. No longer. Isn't it good not to be under the thumb of a bank?
Yes.
Isn't it good not to have to be in debt? Yes. Now you say, well, I am in debt. I owe for this and I owe for that. Well, just start saying, Lord, I just thank You that
That's
You've
right.
blessed me.
Right.
I thank You that you see that You've declared about me that I'm a lender. I don't have to borrow. And it's not because of what I do. It's because of what
That's
Jesus
right.
did. And it's just yeah. because I am a joint heir with Jesus yeah. Christ. So, Father, I thank You that You surround me with favor. And I will walk out Your wisdom in my life,
yeah.
you know, as You lead me into those places of pleasantness. And the man, I'm going to run out of time. And the Lord shall make you, or the Lord has made you the head and not the tail. And you are above only, and you will not be beneath. And of course, the qualifier again is to do the commandments, but that was old covenant. Jesus fulfilled all of this. Now in verse 15, and we'll move through this pretty quickly, but if it shall come to pass if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord. In other words, the curse came in because of disobedience. We'll say that again, the curse. So we're not just talking about a curse that existed just over the earth. We're talking about a curse that came in because of disobedience. And that's how sin entered into the world, by one man's offense, by one man. Romans 5:17 says, by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Okay, but then it talks about by the obedience of one, the many shall be made righteous. See, and so now, okay, so here's your law. You want to keep this. We'll talk about all of this later. But the curse, if you don't keep it, this is the curse that's going to come as a result of it. Now, you're going to see in this language, and I want to clarify this very quickly. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time, because let's get to the bottom line on this. You're going to see where God talks about he will do this to them. I will put diseases on you. I will do this. I will do this. I will cause these things. And people get hung up on that and they say, well, I thought God was a good God. So if he was a good God, why would he do that to him? God is a good God. God is also a righteous God. God is also a just God. And so a curse will come as a result of disobedience under the law system. Now, did God do all of these things? Did he just step out of the way so that Satan could do all of it? You'd have to go back and listen to my series last year on the devil delusion, about how Satan would use the law to gain access into people's lives. But I wouldn't even get hung up on this one question. And here's the reason why. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. I don't care if you come down on the side that God did this, or that it wasn't God, or the devil did this, or it wasn't. None of that matters for the believer today.
Amen.
For the believer today, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. God is good. Every good gift, James chapter 1 says, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't do bad things. And we're his children. All right? So don't get hung up on the language in the old covenant, because they didn't have a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? So let's just go through it. He says this, verse 16, cursed if you don't keep my commandments. Cursed you'll be in the city. Cursed you'll be in the field. Cursed will be your basket and your store. Cursed will be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed you'll be when you come in. Cursed you'll be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to. In other words, you can't get nothing right. For to do until you be destroyed, and until you perish, or until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto you, until he has consumed you from off the land, whether you go to possess it. Part of this was directed at a nation, and we see the result of their disobedience to God in the land later on, in places like 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles. He says the Lord will smite you with the consumption. In other words, the way that I read all of this is not what God said he was going to do, or not what the curse looks like, but I would turn around and say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the pestilence cleaving to me. I'm redeemed from being consumed off of the land. See, now we flip it for the believer. I'm redeemed from being destroyed. I'm redeemed from being forsaken. I'm redeemed, verse 22, from a consumption. I'm redeemed from a fever. I'm redeemed from inflammation. Woo, that's a great one to be redeemed from. I'm redeemed from extreme burning. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the sword. And along with that now, I'm redeemed from being shot.
Amen.
I'm redeemed from blasting. I'm redeemed from mildew. I would imagine that there are a lot of applications medically here. And as you go through it, you're going to see things that you say, I'm redeemed from these things. I'm redeemed from being pursued until I perish. He says, and the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. And so basically what that means is that heaven has been shut up and that the earth under me will not yield. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. Praise God. I'm redeemed from my land being powder and dust. I'm redeemed from all of things coming down on me until I be destroyed. I'm redeemed from being smitten before my enemies. I'm redeemed from going out against them and fleeing before them seven ways. I'm just going to keep going. I'm redeemed from my carcass being meat from the birds of the air. I'm redeemed from that. Hopefully nobody has a fear of that, but I'm redeemed from vultures. I'm redeemed. I mean, he's just covering every single area. I'm redeemed from the botch of Egypt. Thank God for that. I'm redeemed from emeralds or hemorrhoids. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'd rather use preparation faith than preparation H any day. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, I did say that. I'm redeemed from the scab. I'm redeemed from the itch. Thank you, Jesus. Man, all of you thinking, how can I apply this? Yep, I can apply it there. I'm redeemed from all of that. And he says, of an itch that you cannot be healed from. I'm redeemed from that too. Praise God Almighty. I don't want to know. I'm redeemed from being crazy.
Amen.
Smitten with madness.
Amen.
From being thrown into the mental hospital. I'm redeemed from mental problems.
Amen.
There's a lot of mental issues out there today. I'm redeemed from anything that would affect my mind.
Amen.
And that would cause me to not think clearly, and that would cause me to not think right. And that's why God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. This is just all good stuff. I don't have to have any of this. I'm redeemed from blindness. I'm redeemed from astonishment of heart, being afraid all the time, being in fear all the time, a sudden fear that would come on me. I'm redeemed from all of that. I'm redeemed from having to grope about at noonday as a blind one gropes in the darkness, and I'm redeemed from not prospering in my ways. That speaks to the clarity of your mind, that you're not sure about where you're going. You don't know what to do. You just feel like you're groping and that you're just trying to figure out, and you're in a fog trying to figure out how you're going to live your life. You are redeemed from that.
Amen.
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 I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from being oppressed. I'm redeemed from people taking my goods and spoiling me and taking advantage of me. I'm redeemed from that. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from having no help in my life. I'm redeemed from having a wife and another man lying with her.
Amen.
I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from that.
Amen.
Jennifer stuck with me for the rest of her life. Woo! Glory to God. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from building a house and not being able to dwell in it.
Amen.
In other words, the fruit of my work isn't going to belong to another.
Amen.
I'm redeemed from planting a vineyard and not being able to gather the grapes thereof. I'm redeemed from my ox or animals or whatever being taken away from me. I'm redeemed from all of these things. I'm redeemed from my sheep. I'm redeemed. All of that. Look at verse 32. I'm redeemed from my sons and my daughters being given to another people. I'm redeemed. Listen to it. I'm redeemed from my children leaving the household of faith and living out there with another people, with the world, and trying to live that way.
That's right.
That's a word for you parents.
Yes.
Yeah, but my kids are done grown and gone. He didn't talk about age here. He just talked about your children. And they're still my kids. And so anytime that your kid isn't acting like you want to see him to act, you say, Father, I just thank you. I'm redeemed in the name of Jesus from my kids going and serving somebody else, from my kids living with a different people. They are going to stay in your house, stay in the household of faith. And my children are blessed, and they are, you just speak that over your kids. I am redeemed from my eyes looking for my children. When are they going to come home? When are they going to come home? And failing with longing for them all the day. I never have to look. I'll never have to worry about that. And I'm redeemed that I won't have any strength to be able to go get them, because now the strength of the Lord is in me. Praise God. I'm redeemed from the fruit of my land and all my labors being eat up by another company or by other people or by another nation. I'm redeemed from that. All of that is, it covers everything. I'm redeemed from being oppressed and crushed always. I'm redeemed from being mad for the sight of my eyes, because I'm redeemed from being crazy because of the bad things that's happening in my life, because nothing bad is going to happen. That's really what that's talking about there. I'm redeemed from being smitten in the knees.
Amen.
If you got knee problems, you're redeemed from that. Jesus became a curse so that you wouldn't have to deal with it. I'm redeemed from being smitten in the knees and in the legs. I'm redeemed from a sore botch that cannot be healed. So I'm redeemed from being botched up. Because I really don't know what the botch is, but you know. All I know, sometimes I said I botched that one up, so I'm redeemed from that. Praise God. I'm redeemed from the sole of my foot all the way to the top of my head, not having any botch in it. Amen. Nothing's going to be botched up in my body in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
That's right.
I'm redeemed from having another king set over me. I'm redeemed from not, you know, from not being able to serve the Lord my God. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from becoming an astonishment and a proverb and a byword. What happened to him? Where did they go? I will fulfill my course with joy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I will serve my God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. So I'm redeemed from being an astonishment. I'm redeemed from carrying much seed out of the field and gathering only little in. I'm redeemed from the locusts coming in. I'm redeemed from planting vineyards, dressing them, not being able to drink from it or gather the drinks because worms come in. I'm redeemed from worms. Praise God. I'm redeemed from having olive trees. It just goes on and not being able to, again, partake from it. I'm redeemed from having sons and daughters, but not enjoying them. So see, you're redeemed now from not being able to enjoy your children.
Amen.
You're redeemed from that. Children are the heritage of the Lord. So we get to enjoy them. I'm redeemed from my children going into captivity. All the trees and the fruit of the land, I'm redeemed from the locust consuming. I'm redeemed from the world being able to do better than I am because of God, I'm always the head and not the tail. That's what he's talking about. I'm redeemed from being brought down very low. I'm redeemed from having to borrow from others and having to be the tail in other situations. I'm redeemed from all of these curses coming on me and pursuing me and overtaking me till I'm be destroyed. None of this can come to me because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Let's see. I get to serve God with joyfulness, gladness of heart for all the abundance of things. I'm redeemed. Verse 48. Let's see how much further we got to go. Man, there's a whole bunch to do. Where are we at? We're at 807. Let's see if we can knock this thing out. I'm redeemed Now, this is just good stuff. I'm redeemed from serving enemies. I'm redeemed from being in hunger. I'm redeemed from being in thirst. I'm redeemed from being naked. Praise God. I'm redeemed for not having clothes and in the want of all things. I'm redeemed from not having enough. I'm redeemed from being under slavery.
Amen.
I'm redeemed until I've been destroyed. I'm redeemed from being under, again, another nation whose language I don't understand. In other words, I am not going to have to be subject to another nation that's out there. I'm redeemed from that. And he goes on to explain that, but we're just redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from having the fruit of my cattle eaten, the fruit of my land, to all of this. I mean, he's just reiterating some of the same things that we talked about, and because of an enemy coming in. So I'm redeemed from any enemy coming in and taking anything from me.
Amen.
I am, everything that I have is protected by God Himself.
Amen.
Praise God. 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 in my right hand, the Bible says, but it will not come nigh me. He has given His angels charge over me. So because of what Jesus has done, I'm redeemed from all of this. I'm redeemed of having to eat the fruit of my own body. I'm redeemed from being so hungry like they did at one point in Samaria, having to eat my own children. Praise God. But out of that, how can that apply to us? Because we're not going to do that. But what does that apply to us? Well, what that means is I'm redeemed from having to depend on my kids.
That's
I'm
right.
redeemed from having to take their stuff. And I mean, I'm just going to apply it that way because I'm the one as a father that's blessing them. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right. Let's see. I'm just going to keep going down here. I'm redeemed. He talks about the tender and delicate woman among you. Her eyes shall be evil towards the husband of her. I'm redeemed from my wife looking at other men. Not just because I'm so good looking, although that's a good part of it. But come on, help me out here, guys.
Okay.
What'd you just say? I'm redeemed from having church members. I'm redeemed. Because God said this.
Amen.
So husbands and wives, you can trust each other, not because of just them, but because of Jesus.
Amen.
And because of what He did. So I'm just going to say that about myself. Well, what if I'm divorced now? What if I had a situation in the past? What, you know, don't worry about that. Now you know you're redeemed.
Amen.
Now you know, and you thank God for that.
Amen.
So it's not about the past. It's about you right now living in the blessing of God.
Right.
Praise God. I'm redeemed from all of these things. And let's see. And then in verse 59, I'm redeemed from having plagues.
Amen.
And my seed, my children, are redeemed from having plagues. And sicknesses that are of long continuance.
No cancer.
So cancer, a sickness, fibromyalgia, something that is long continuance that you've not been able to get rid of or that you've been dealing with for years upon years or months upon months, you're redeemed from because Christ took it all. Glory to God. Sore sicknesses of long continuances, I'm redeemed from. All the diseases of Egypt, I'm redeemed from. I'm redeemed from any sickness cleaving unto me. And then it says, every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, that's what I'm redeemed from. That covers every single sickness that humanity has ever experienced, that humanity has ever named. We are redeemed from all of it. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says that by His stripes we were healed. Man, I'm going to go over and read that in a moment because you won't see the whole thing. And I'm redeemed from being left few in number. I'm redeemed from all of that. I'm redeemed from being scattered. I'm redeemed from being plucked out of the land that I go to possess. I am redeemed from being scattered amongst different, and my family being scattered all over the earth so that we don't get to see each other or talk to each other or anything like that. I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from all of this, praise God. I'm redeemed from not, look, verse 65. I'm redeemed from not finding any ease. I'm redeemed. So, in other words, I get to find rest. I'm redeemed from not having rest. If you're having trouble going to sleep at night, you're redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from having a trembling heart. I'm redeemed from failing of eyes.
Amen.
I'm 50, almost 50 years old. I'm redeemed from having failing of eyes. I'm redeemed from sorrow of mind. Having to deal with sorrow. That's depression. That's depression. You're redeemed from depression. Praise God. Say that with me. I'm redeemed from depression.
I'm redeemed from depression.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
I'm redeemed from my life hanging in doubt. That's awesome. That I have to worry about when I'm going to die. I have to worry about, you know, am I going to make it till next year? I'm redeemed from any diagnosis that would say you only have so long to live. And man, I'm redeemed from my life hanging in doubt. And I'm redeemed from being afraid day and night and having no assurance of life. It don't matter where you live. It don't matter. It don't matter. It don't matter who you're surrounded by. You can live and dream and sleep and breathe securely. Glory to God in everything. I'm redeemed from in the morning saying, I wish it was evening. And I'm redeemed from it saying at the evening time, man, I wish it was morning. Because of fear. And I'm just redeemed. So that's the curse of the law. Now, to close this out, let's look at two things. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to see this so that you understand why you're redeemed from all of this. See, so anything that you start to experience, or if you start to experience in your life that lines up with the curse, you want to do two things. All right? Listen, you want to do two things. First thing that you want to do is you want to make sure that you've not entered into an idea of what am I doing or what am I not doing, or and you're looking at your performance in your life to determine, you know, the blessing from God, okay? Because, again, as soon as you start trying to live according to rules and laws and all of that kind of thing, again, then now you've, he says, you're under a curse. All right. So I would look there first. I would try to identify, Father, if there's anything in my heart that would say, you know, that would, because we're going to find out later, he's talking about you disconnect yourself from Jesus and from his influence and from his grace in your life. So you fall from grace, and so you don't get the benefit of it. So that's number one. Number two, when you've identified, if you've identified anything, get rid of it, repent, change, and you step right back into that grace flow that's available to you. Number two is you declare. You take the word of God. See, because none of these things, a lot of people operate, they'll experience areas of the curse in their life, things, they'll experience areas that's not a blessing in their life because they allow it. What do I mean they allow it? They just put up with it. They just say, hey, whatever. It's okay, whatever. They don't have an understanding that they are redeemed from that curse, that specific curse. And so they haven't released faith in what Jesus has done. And faith, grace works in your life through faith. And so what happens is when I recognize, when I look at all of that list and I said, I'm redeemed from all of that, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at it. And I'm going to look at it as being placed on the body of Jesus Christ. That curse that was meant for me placed on the body of Jesus Christ. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. That's part of the curse. I've been redeemed from it. Jesus has already took it. So you can't stay in my life.
Amen.
No, I'm going to replace that. The blessing of God is in my life.
Yes,
see?
Lord.
And don't be passive about it.
That's right.
Don't be passive about it. Don't just say, well, Maybe it'll go away or maybe it won't. No. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a child of the Most High God. You start acting like it. You start living like it. You start expecting that the blessing that we went through and the redemption from the curse always is operating that way in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who in his own self, who his own self, he did it all by himself, his own self, bear our sins. See, what did I say that the curse came? The curse comes because of disobedience. But see, Jesus bore our disobedience. This is the reason why. You got to get this. Jesus bore every one of your disobediences on the cross.
Amen.
He became a curse according to the law. But then he bore every one of your disobedience so that the curse has no legal right into your life.
Amen.
If you will live, child of God, if you will live your life just having faith in what Jesus did, in what happened on the cross, and fully accept that he took every one of your sins, past, present, and future. Every one of your, how could I say future? Well, he did it before you was ever born.
Yeah, that's right.
So, he did. But you got to see it that way. You got to stop looking at yourself as the reason why something hasn't. The reason, we're in a different place now. We're in a different place now. We look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who in his own self bear our sins in his own body, bear our sins in, on the, that we now being dead to sin, we're dead to disobedience, we're dead to that sinful life, we're dead to sins, we should live now under righteousness. We get to live, we get all of that, we'll talk about that next week or the week after, by whose stripes,
come on,
you were healed. You were healed. He already done did it. That's one of my favorite phrases. He done did it so that you don't have to experience it. Glory to God. You just get to experience healing. And so to go back to Galatians 3:13. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Man, we're going to get into some good stuff next week as well as he starts explaining this. I know we went a little bit longer than we do sometimes, but man, we had to read all those curses and find out just what we're redeemed from.
That's right.
This is just great news. Praise God. Amen. Can you just stand with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We give you praise right now, Father, for what Jesus did on the cross. We thank you, we thank you. We thank you that we're redeemed. We thank you that we are the redeemed. We thank you that we sing the song of the redeemed. We thank you that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from disease. We're redeemed from long continuing sicknesses. We're redeemed from our finances going wrong. We're redeemed. We're redeemed. I mean, we read through it. Father, we are so redeemed. It's amazing just how redeemed we really are. That no curse in any area of my life, no curse in any area of my life, no curse in any area can have any access to any area of my life, that I am buffered by the blessing. I am surrounded by the blessing. I am surrounded by your favor. I am just favor, just it compasses me about. Your word says, as a shield. And it's a shield. It just keeps there. Any curse that would try to come my way, anything that's not of you that would try to come my way, it just bounces right off. It just bounces off that shield. It'll never even touch me. Father, because of what Jesus did, I thank you. I thank you that I am blessed, that the blessing of the Lord is on my life. Say that with me. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
The blessing of Abraham is on me right now. The blessing of the Lord
surrounds my life.
Surely mercy and goodness follows me all the days of my life. I'm redeemed from the curse. Every curse. I am redeemed. It can't come near me anymore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give him praise for that right now? Thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus.